Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Captain Ron again. Nick is once again, I mean, honestly, Nick, you can't wake up two mornings. You can't get up for two mornings at whatever time, 5:30, quarter to six, even, to get here on, to be here at 7 o'clock, to be at your job. You're kidding, right? Now, he went to the rodeo cook-off. I didn't go. I ended up not going. It was too cold and wet and crappy.
I went to Cirque du Soleil. Unbelievable.
Cirque du Soleil.
Best show.
Are we in Vegas now?
The best show I've ever seen.
Really?
I mean, I'm not going to put it ahead of Hamilton, but it was incredible.
Did they have it's there for trampolines? And
there's one that's a trampoline and a treadmill. There's a juggler. There's acrobatic stuff. I mean, everybody there is a smoke show. The entire thing is like that's their thing.
Well, you got to
You just sit there the whole time going.
Oh. How close did you sit?
Pretty close, about seven rows off. Every seat's a good one. It's the same Houston Race Park.
Oh.
You go out there, they build their own tent. I mean, it's a traveling show, and it is unbelievable. It was a phenomenal show. They had some stuff with water that was incredible. I've seen like 5 different Cirque shows. This is the best one I've seen.
Really?
So it ends this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and I think Sunday. And so if you guys want to go, I would go out there. But it was fantastic. Then I got home and got to watch the Rockets, and it was good. It was things were going pretty good for a while there. And then they stopped going good.
Well, it was 52-39,
mm-hmm.
and they were playing really well. And then they came out of a timeout, and LA. I don't know what it is about second half or out of timeouts that when they're leading. This team just lets off the gas. Uh-huh. It just really and it seems like, you know, whoever they're playing comes up with all kinds of they come up with the intensity, and the Rockets just the Lakers go on a 9-0 run, and then from then on it was just, you know, just a game. And the last 2 minutes, goodness gracious, Chris Paul turnover, James Harden offensive foul, James Harden offensive foul, Chris Paul technical, Mike D'Antoni technical. It was unbelievable. I mean, just
they literally fell apart.
Their execution in the final minutes of these games are just god awful. It's just god awful. And Chris Paul getting its technical at a critical point in the game, and then D'Antoni backing it up with another one is just, it's a death. I mean, it's just, you know, they've lost three of their last four. They're only 8 games over 500. They're only 3 games out into the playoffs. They're so much closer to being out of the playoffs than being a 3 seed. I mean, holy crap. This team really does have to worry about whether... Now they've got Golden State, which that's always easy. I mean, this team really has to start to worry about whether or not... They've only got 24 games left.
Whether or not what? The top four, they're making the playoffs.
It
just got Clint Capella back. They're a lock to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think they're a top four team.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't think that... I think that's up for grabs. I wouldn't just plug them into the top four. I would make them one of the favorites for sure, but I don't think you can plug them in as just absolutely anything. Now, I do like the fact that Clint Capella came back last night. You could see, you know, the effects he has defensively on being able to guard some of the switch on some of the high screen and roll stuff. It's a big deal. Having a rim protector in is a big deal. But yeah, you know, once again, the Rockets gave up the largest lead of the season comeback for another team. This is now, I think, the third time this has happened this year. It happened, was it Oklahoma City 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago on that Saturday. That was, you know, largest comeback, blah, blah, blah. And now it happens again with the Lakers, as the Lakers had a 19-point deficit and they came back. So execution in the second half has been a major, major concern for the Houston Rockets. James had his streak ended, so we can stop doing that, right?
No, he got 30.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he got his 30. Well, okay. That's the headline. What are you talking about? I know they lost the game, but Rockets, their account, James, unguardable tour continues, 30 points against the Lakers.
That wasn't their account.
Woo!
No, that wasn't their account.
Woo!
It didn't say that, I guarantee.
Hooray! Hashtag unguardable tour. Yep. Doesn't matter, they lost 3 of their last 4. Unguardable tour continues. What? Yes. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Got the 30 points. That's the only important thing. Don't care if they win, where they are in the playoffs. That doesn't matter. Unguardable tour, baby. Woo! So there's that.
Yeah, disappointing. Disappointing to let these games get away from you. They're full strength now for the first time since mid-December. They're at full strength. This is the first time in 2 months that they have their squad. So we'll see what they do from this point forward. Obviously, that was a game that was clearly a winnable game. Now we'll see how they perform moving forward. It's not going to be easy, but I still think that when you look at the balance of this team and this lineup, this is the first time they're going to all play together with new pieces as well. Austin Rivers is a new piece since they last were all together. Fareed is a new piece. How they're going to James being even more ball dominant is kind of new for Clint Capella from when he was out. So this will be interesting.
Highlights of the 15-point first half. Hashtag the unguardable tour.
Well, but that was...
That's the Rockets account.
Yeah, but that wasn't after the game was over.
No, they've done it before when they've lost the game.
Okay, but that was not last night. They didn't do that.
No.
Yeah. Because it says what also has an MVP in there. But that was... That was at the half. That's understandable at the half, and you're leading. That's understandable. Uh-huh. I thought you meant after the game.
Oh, do you want to see that after the game after games that they've lost? How they promoted the James Harden's points?
You better not do it after one. You lose a 19-point, or after the Oak City loss. You better not be leading with that. That's not fire that guy too.
Woo-hoo! Unguardable tour, baby. Woo!
So.
Did it!
Yeah, enough about all that. I mean, we already know that's a PR thing. That's fine. I'm more worried about how you play in the third quarter. I don't care about all the 30-point stuff. I care about, do you defend in the third? Do you come out with energy? Is it something that is winning sustainable this year? That's what I care about. Right now, winning is not sustainable for the Rockets at a high level.
They're 8 games over 500. What 8 games over 500 is?
I get it. I'm not talking about little pockets. I'm talking about the big picture. No. They're all together now. This is the first time since December.
Yeah, but okay, I get it. No, and I'm right with you on that. And I'm optimistic that they're going to be a good team, and they should get through the first round. And you know, maybe it's better off that they play Golden State in the second round. That might be better off because they'll hopefully still be healthy. And they'll be a good team, but they weren't all of them were together early in the season, yeah, and they were a bad basketball team.
It was
bad.
Chris Paul wasn't the same.
No,
that was a big part. Clint Capella was fine.
He's really not the same.
James was fine. It was frankly, James Ennis was a non-factor. There are new pieces around them that are playing much better, and Eric Gordon is playing at a different level. So I do feel relatively hopeful that they're all in the same place. My question is, can Chris Paul sustain what he sustained last year? That was a difference maker. Chris Paul was the difference maker, frankly, in that team, which is why they had to sign into a deal that they know is not a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not that same difference maker, I don't think it's sustainable at a high level. You could beat Golden State last year. Right now, I don't feel confident, obviously, and it. You know, this is coming on the heels of a loss after a 19-point lead. But, I mean, at no point has it felt sustainable this year relative to, and I know there was a hot streak in there previously, but, I mean, really at a high level in the postseason. We know that James can't beat anybody single-handedly. He's never done it. He's never going to do it. It's too hard to do for any basketball player, not named Michael Jordan or Hakeem Olajuwon, apparently. But LeBron. We've seen LeBron have those moments. I don't think right now that we can count on Chris Paul to play at a consistently high level. I'm waiting for that to happen. And the only way that happens is if James starts giving him the ball more and he starts to get into a rhythm with the ball in his hands more. I think that's the only way this is going to happen. So, I don't know. We'll see. Just a little down after yesterday's loss. Got Eric Layden texting me in the middle of the night about Choke City because he's out in L.A. being a Laker fan, and I'm just sitting here like, did I really just get a text at about 2 in the morning about Choke City?
Yeah, you probably did.
His midnight, my 2 a.m.
Yeah, right. You probably did. And he doesn't have anything. What does he got to do? He's an actor. He can come in like Nick Sharara whenever he wants.
He either comes in. Yeah, he either is up and going at 4 a.m. on a shoot somewhere, yeah, or it's like 10 a.m.
Or doesn't
one,
get
one or the other.
Rolls out of bed, yeah, at noon or so, probably. I don't have a shoot today, so I'm good. I'll just hang out, you know, I'll just stay in bed like Nick Sharara, kind of like Nick Sharara. Come in whenever you want.
He does the Reggie Miller gif, the choking gif.
Yeah, yeah. So that happened last night. You know, not going to over, but hey, this is a tough stretch now. Not only do you have this Lake, that's an important game right there, that Lakers game. First of all, keeping them out of the playoffs would certainly be nice, and you know, all that means for LeBron and the whole LeBron movement going forward. They've got, at Golden State, they got Atlanta here. They're terrible. At Charlotte, should win that. Miami, at Boston, that'll be tough. At Toronto, that'll be tough. So, I mean, this is a chance to be zigzagging. Philadelphia after that. At Dallas, they've shown that they can lose to Dallas as well. So this is a stretch right here where if you're playing 500 ball in that neighborhood over these next 10 or so games, you got Golden State again, Minnesota coming up. They've proven that they could lose to Minnesota as well. That's a problem. Being at about 8 games over 500 is going to put you in the 6-7 seed in that neighborhood at the end of this season. They got to play better than 500 ball.
This is the truly terrifying thing is they're only a half game up in their own division over San Antonio.
Who cares about that?
I know. Isn't that the dumbest thing ever? What do you even have division?
I don't know why.
Like, they're only a half game up on San Antonio in the, what's the division called now?
I don't know. Is it Southwest?
In the Southwest division.
Southwest. Yeah, division.
I don't even know why they do.
It used
divisions.
To matter in that you, if you were a division winner, you couldn't be lower than a four seed or
right.
something.
Right. You,
or
you something. Could lock. Yeah, you could. You locked in on your seed.
I forget.
Now it's just like it's. It, I don't even know why they do divisions. Yeah, no, basically, yeah. I guess for the balance of the schedule, they have to. But other than that,
yeah, because you play your division more, right?
Even the schedule, when you look at NBA schedules or standings, I mean, the standings are only based on playoffs.
That's
like,
right.
Well, here's the division tab if you want to look how you're doing in a division. Now, if this were the Texans, it would be very important to put a division championship banner up there. You got to have that.
Well, yeah.
It matters in football. It matters in football.
If you were to give this team an NFL record, it would be 9-7 in Southwest Division champs right now.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say 8 games over right now is in that neighborhood.
It's about an 8 yeah. and 9-7.
It feels like you're 9 trending towards 10.
Mm-hmm. I think you're trending toward 8-8.
Like last year was a 14-2 season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year was a 14-2
season. No, you were the best team in basketball last year. You were, yes, yes.
Golden State's had a 16-0 season in the past, but you were 14-2 last year. This feels like maybe a 10 win, depending on if you can still finish at this pace. 9-10 wins, yeah. Yeah, that's what it feels like for the NFL. If there was an NFL conversion chart.
I think if there was an NFL.
What were the Astros last year? 14-2?
The Astros, 103 wins. Or probably 13-3.
Relative to their expectations and everything. That's a lot of wins.
That's a lot of wins.
Anytime you get 100 win seasons, that's a lot of wins.
Yeah. Well, there were 300 win
teams.
It's
at least 13. It's at least 13 wins.
There were 400 win teams last year. So, I mean, I think there was a 13 win season. Boston was probably 14-2. They had 108 wins. And I love Boston now, seeing as how
108 is probably 15-1.
Yeah, probably.
That's a lot of wins.
Probably. I'm Boston. I'm Red Sox Johnny now because I want to. I'm being realistic about this bullpen.
That was pretty.
You
funny.
Don't. You better not be realistic about your bullpen.
The gif with you turning with the girl looking at the other girl and it says the Red Sox logo, the Astros logo. That was pretty funny.
You're damn right.
They didn't put your face in there.
You know what? And that's pretty damn accurate. I'm looking over at the Red Sox, going, "Wow, that's really, really good over there." You know what? They're really, really good, and they've done a hell of a job. And you know what? In large part, I'll tell you, it's so undervalued, the people that they're picking off from this Astros organization,
right,
including Alex Cora, who is awesome. And he learned from AJ. He got his training here, but the Sigma dolls up in the front office. Jeff Luhnow has... It seems like every year his entire front office is picked off by another organization because of the way that they do things, the way that they, you know, what Jeff Luhnow has brought to this table and how he's organized this thing and what a good organization it is. It's a compliment to Jeff and what he has done here. But I'm telling you, it ain't easy replacing all those guys every year, and that's what he's got to do.
Right.
If they still had the original group that Jeff Luhnow was able to put together, they would be, you know, this organization probably dominating everybody. But when you lose really good people out of your front office and your coaching staff year after year, which is happening to this Astros organization, you're going to feel it a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can't... You can't fade all that. No. It's an attrition.
Absolutely.
And attrition builds in. So
while those people are gaining and getting good people to come in, it's a win-win for them because the Astros at the same time are losing those people and losing good people and having to replace them and teach them and going over all the same stuff. And they're bringing now, you can't bring philosophies and you can't bring...
Somehow the Patriots do it. Somehow the San Antonio Spurs have done it over the years. The Spurs have lost a lot also. But Yeah, it gets hard. The Astros have lost so much in the last 2 years.
They can't bring trade secrets with them and methodology.
Why?
Because it's illegal in baseball. You can't. You cannot.
You don't think Cora does the same stuff he's done? Well, with
no. It's Cora because it's baseball strategy and whatnot.
Right.
But front office people, they can't bring. Well, here's how the this is the Astros. I've got their.
Well, you're talking
computer,
about
their computer data, well, yeah. And I'm bringing it with over. They can't do that stuff.
Okay, that's different.
Right,
you can do methodology. Like, here's how the Astros do things from a scouting standpoint. That's just shared. That's learned. That's something new. You learned. You're talking.
You can't
more
bring
like,
software, and
you can't say, "Here's his password."
Well, no, you can't. That's feels, for sure. You'll do prison time.
Yeah, that feels.
No. I'm just even talking about. You know, this is how we break. This is our system for breaking down players and all. You can't bring that with you.
Right.
You have to create your own as opposed to. Now, do you know how to do it? Yeah. Do you probably do it a lot of the same way? Yeah. I mean, and that's a problem because.
And there's no way you're going to know if someone's doing it. I mean.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, you can't bring entire spreadsheets of. Here's who they have in their minor leagues.
Well, no, and here's how we. This is exactly how we do it over at the Astros. We're going to do it that way here. You can't. Even the same way you can't
sure?
do it. Yes, you can't. You cannot do that. It's a no-no in baseball. It's a big no-no in baseball.
I feel like, well, first of all, baseball cheats more than anybody on the planet.
Yeah.
If baseball was.
Well, no, no,
if
no.
If baseball was a man. They would have three mistresses.
I don't think.
They would be French. Baseball would be French with the mistress game.
I don't think you. Remember in the playoffs, the Astros had a camera in the Red Sox dugout.
To make sure they weren't cheating.
To make sure the Red Sox weren't cheating.
That's a good point.
That's why they had a camera in their
bullpen. Baseball cheats so much.
In
the Astros had to make sure that somebody else wasn't cheating.
You got to make sure. So nobody goes to prison.
Look.
Oh, look who's here. Oh, hello. Hi,
hello,
Nick.
Everybody. Good morning.
Hi. You're early today as opposed to how you usually show up here.
First time I've ever been late in my life.
Pardon me?
First time I've ever been late.
Well,
do you mean 2 days in a row?
No one knew that till you mentioned it.
Yeah, no. Everybody knew it. That was listening yesterday. Well, everybody
yeah.
knew that.
Well, yeah. There's a reason.
Yeah. No.
Well, yeah.
If you saw what I took home, you'd say that's a good excuse.
Would you? You took home some brisket?
No, I'm gonna text you a picture right now.
Okay, I want to see a picture. all right. Then you know what? Then I'll be good with it, Nick. I'm going to be fine with it.
Let me tell you about something I'm
as
good
long
with.
As you were busy right up until 6 in the morning, I'm going to be fine with that.
I'm going to be good with the fact that you get brand new cars over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. But it's not just cars. I say cars. That's a generic like saying, well, I think I'm going to drink a Coke. Well, you mean you'll drink a whatever name that you're going to have on there. When I say cars, I mean things like the 2019 GMC Acadia. 72 months at 0%. That's 6 years of no APR rate. 6 years. That's incredible. And what better than that? I mean, if you're looking for the Tahoe, 7% below MSRP right now or 10% below MSRP on most models when you finance with GMC Financial. But March 23rd, this is a big day because the Best in Show car show, classic car show, you got Best in Show and the Fans' Choice. Each one is going to pay you $500. Best in Show, $500. The Fans' Choice, $500. And now is your opportunity to go register at LanceZCars.com. Register for your opportunity to compete for your chance to win the $500. And you guys who are into classic cars, you already know. I mean, this is a chance for you to go and take advantage of a great opportunity to be with other people who are into classic cars. If you want to just go check them out for yourself, March 23rd, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. You can go see all these awesome classic cars on display. For more information about any of the vehicles they have in stock or the Classic Car Show, go to LanceZCars.com.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers,
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So,
yeah, we heard you.
So the Rockets lost last night. That was unfortunate. I saw some of that when I had the chance, got home. I told you I went to Cirque du Soleil, right?
Yeah.
These are former gymnasts, basically all of them. You have to be. It's like a French thing, I think. You got the quote-unquote clown that they... it's hard to explain it. You could probably YouTube it and see some of it, I guess. It's in a giant tent. It's a Sam Houston Race Park. It's really cool. They're not... the tickets aren't super cheap. I will tell you that in advance. But, man, you get a lot of bang for the buck. So... Now, once again, like I told you, they're gymnasts, right? They do gymnast stuff. One guy was out there doing what amounted to, you know, that Iron Cross stuff on those guys who have to be unbelievably strong. He was doing stuff like that where you can hang sideways from a pole. You have just that kind
those
of
those guys are unbelievable.
One of the things that I can tell gets under my wife's skin is I'll say it just like, and this can be anything. I'll say, I could probably do like... only 12% of what they're doing. I'll say something like it's like I'm really downing myself. At most I could do 10 to 12% of what they're able to do out there. You can't, what? No, I couldn't. I mean, maybe in my 30s I could have done maybe 20%, but now there's no way I could do more than 10%. You can't do 0%. Yes, I could. The juggling thing. He's juggling seven things. I'm like, I could probably do five if I worked at it.
Like, what's 12%? Like two things. You could juggle two things.
My kids, I'll do that. I'll say, right now, I bet I could hardly dunk at all.
Right.
Like, you can't dunk. What do you mean hardly dunk at all? I bet I could get, if I worked at it for a week or 2 weeks, I could probably dunk some. Like, you can't dunk. Tell people that you can, real matter-of-factly, you can do things that they know are not possible. It'll irritate them in a way. I guess that's a troll. I guess that's being a troll.
You think?
But me saying that I do, I could go to, okay, so if we go into a restaurant, if we go to Riel, right? Chef brings stuff out like, this is really good. I'm pretty sure I could do this dish. Yeah. What do you mean you could do this dish? I'm like, this isn't that hard. Yes, it is.
You can
do that to somebody, they'll get so pissed off. But you got to sell it. You got to really sell it like, you know, I could do that.
No, that's easy. I can easily do that. Actually, mine would probably be, I do this. Mine tastes better.
Do this one. Tell people in baseball, like tell some people on Twitter, you know, like right now, probably the fastest I could throw would be 80 miles an hour.
Right.
Like 80 is still fast. You could not throw 80.
No.
I for sure could throw 80.
No, I can hit 83.
Say something like that. It will piss people off.
Yeah.
Just to say that you can do, you know, at most, if I was unguarded, at most I could make 12 or 25 threes.
That's it.
From NBA 3-point range. At most.
At most.
Like, no, but, you couldn't.
Oh, well, and Raheel proved, no, you can't, especially when I put freaking money on him. Jerk.
Yeah, well.
Jerk. Still pissed off at him. All right. We're catching up on breaks. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NBA. And you were right. I mean, this is happening. This is, and I don't think it's because of LeBron's kid so much, but it's happening.
What?
The NBA is going to none and done. They're going to go back to high school. And people are freaking out that this is the end of college basketball. Stop.
Well, they did it before.
And, oh, by the way, there's maybe two kids that would be drafted out of high school every year. Maybe two or three kids.
Oh, no, this is going to severely dent. Like, all of Duke wouldn't be there anymore.
Well, not necessarily. Like Zion said, I would have still gone to college.
He says that. We don't know for sure.
No, but he said, I wanted to go to college.
I'm glad he said that. That's easy to say when you already have it. We'll see with all the money. Kentucky, what we know is it really did. I mean, the no age limit put a severe dent in college basketball.
Well, we'll see how it affects college. They had it before, and college basketball was still okay and still actually never folded because kids were drafted out of high school. That happened. You know who gets drafted out of high school?
It's not gonna
Kevin
fold.
Garnett and Dwight Howard and Kobe.
Oh, you're selling it short. I can show you how many people were drafted in the first two rounds of the draft. There was like 10 to 12.
So you miss out, really?
Yeah.
Well,
it got high in like 2004. 2005?
Well, 10 to 12, still, there's 500 universities, and they're going to be fine. I'm pretty sure.
No. You'll still be playing college basketball. The top guys, a lot of the top guys aren't going
to
be
there. Yeah, or if you're smart, you actually go to college for a couple of years, and you learn, and oh, by the way, you're going to be a better player when you get to the pros.
That all sounds awesome. Give me my money.
Yeah, that's true.
Give me my money now.
Oh, or I'll get my money in a little bit when I'm better.
Millions right now. No one ever said, give me millions later.
Well, when I'm better at this thing called basketball.
No, they're amazing right now. Don't you know that? The agents are already telling them. You are amazing now.
You know what? You know who's amazing? You know what's amazing today?
What?
Oh, $10,000 guaranteed at Prime Social. That's what's amazing.
$10,000 guaranteed today?
Every Friday.
Every Friday we're doing it now.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. When you have $10,000, it means no matter how many people sign up, it's a $10,000 guarantee pot.
Well,
it's not
Fridays,
first place.
It's awesome, though.
It's not first place.
No, it's the pot.
It's the pot.
That's big.
But I don't know that I've ever seen where they didn't hit that when they had that guarantee.
Oh, God, no.
If they don't, they guarantee
it. Like the one week, they hit 27. So the pot was 27,000.
Oh, it paid into the 20. It paid, the top 16.
Yeah.
Because I was hanging out until I could get inside the top 16. Or top, top 18. It paid the top 18. Usually it will pay anywhere from the top 8 to the top 10. Go in and play a tournament. If you love tournaments, this is a great way to go play poker. Your chance to go in and compete at noon. And you've got buy-ins, you've got rebuys. You don't have to be there at noon to register. You can be there up until 2 o'clock. But, John, let's say you get there early. Go play cash games before you play your tournament. When you bust out of the tournament, if you do, stay for the cash games.
That's it. Oh, my God. And I did yesterday. I got to hand it to me a little bit, but that's okay. You know what? Great tournament every single day at noon, 2 o'clock on Sundays, and then the cash games. It's unbelievable how many tables there are. You know, the other places, they're all, come play at us. And they got a table or two maybe going on. You're talking about 10, 15 tables going on at Prime Social. So you always got a game. You're looking for a game? Prime Social. Stony Brook and Westheimer right there, just west of Voss. PrimeSocialTX.com. The best place to play, Prime Social.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on the Rockets last night? James Harden has some thoughts on referee Scott Foster.
There were some questionable calls. The one that he got the charging where he wasn't allowed to land, I'm pretty sure that's not a correct call. If you already leave the ground before somebody goes and establishes outside the lane, you have to give them an opportunity to land. You can't. I mean, that's physically impossible to land if he's already set up and you jump. But I didn't think he was set up. I thought James was in the air before the defender got set outside the bubble, and that should have been a non-call. Or a block.
Right.
But that might be, but what James said is way more than one.
Wow. James came after him, and, you had the double technicals as well. You had the two charges. Down the stretch, the Rockets basically didn't take any shots. It was unbelievable how this thing turned out. And James afterwards doesn't think that Scott Foster should be part of their games.
Scott Foster, man, he's, I never really talk about officiating or anything like that, but just rude and arrogant. I mean, you aren't able to talk to him throughout the course of a game. And it's like, how do you do that relationship with officials? And it's not even that call. Like, it's just, who he is on that floor. It's pretty frustrating. And I mean, I'm probably going to get hit, but honestly, I don't really say anything. I'm probably a pretty quiet guy to myself, but it's one of those things where you can't voice your opinion. You can't have a conversation with someone that's officiating the game, and then you're getting a tech. It's pretty sad.
I think James makes.
He went on to say that he should not referee their games anymore.
Yeah, do we have that sound? Because
yeah,
heard
that's
that.
The second one, Nick. Yeah. 201-90-222.
That one's an even stronger comment.
Yeah. He says, believes ref Scott Foster has a personal beef with Rockets. You got that one? Mine was different. The one that I played, they all end in 2-2 if you look at them.
That's probably the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all are the same. You see, they're all the same number.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Because we definitely want to just keep checking in there because we want to play that one because that's a pretty strong one, a pretty strong commentary that James has. I can tell you this. James doesn't usually – he'll do his complaining on the court. But here's what James Harden have to – and James doesn't usually talk about officiating after games. Here's what – and James gets a zillion calls. I mean, you know, he's not going to be super pissed about officiating. But talking to an official and having a relationship.
He still moans, you know.
Yeah, but that's not – that's normal.
That's every guy. That's every guy in the NBA, yeah.
Let's hear what James had to say about Scott Foster and the Rockets moving forward.
I don't really talk about officials or anything, but I think just for him in particular, like it's – he's different.
No, that's not it either. I don't know. You're looking – at must be looking at a different page than I am.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Yeah, we'll find it.
We'll find it because I know that James does not want Scott Foster to officiate games anymore. And before I know there will be some anti-James people who will just be.
It's just lingering. And it's something that has to be looked at for sure.
You feel like it's a personal issue?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, it's personal. For sure. Like, I don't think he should be able to even, you know, officiate our games anymore, honestly.
James is going to catch at least $25,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And maybe $50,000 for that.
And I'm worried about James' money.
I'm not worried about his money, but it's important that James Harden speak up in that regard. And here's why. If there is a personal bias and beef, and I don't care whether the Rockets cry about calls and Daryl and Tad always say things on Twitter and they go to the league office and all that. That's all fine and good. You can say whatever you want. But we have seen with the Rockets before, there was Jake O'Donnell had such a personal issue with Clyde Drexler that the NBA recognized it and ended his career. He was toward the back end of it anyway. They basically said, yeah, you're done. You can't officiate anymore in this series against the Rockets, and you are done with basketball. To think that these guys who are human don't potentially develop these kind of feelings about players or teams, it would be silly. Of course, you absolutely can't. You'd like to hope that you don't. You know, that if you're in that kind of position of authority that you are not rabbit ears. Having players complain about stuff, that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with it. If you're an umpire and they're complaining about calls at home. Now, granted, you take the most when you're an NFL official. They can basically just walk you up and down the field.
I mean, they're screaming in your ear.
Baseball is the least. You got to know who you can say, what you can say, and what crosses the line. They don't mess around. Basketball is probably in between.
Yeah, I guess.
But you got to be able to let them do it a little.
I think it really depends on that basketball ref, too, though. Yeah, they got rabbit ears.
You're right, and there are some. And I think if Scott Foster won't even engage in conversations and talk about that stuff, look, you're not going to change your call. And you don't even have to let players try to bludgeon you into making the next call, you know, a makeup call. But you can at least fake it and listen, act like you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just roll over and decide, well, that's it. I'm done talking to you. I'm done talking to your entire team. You can't have that. And if that's the case, and once again, I would say that generally speaking, I don't believe in referee conspiracy theories, and especially Rockets fans are the worst about having them, it seems like. But with that said, I have seen what happened with Jake O'Donnell, and I do think it's possible that Scott Foster, that one official has a personal, not the league has a bias against the team.
There's personalities involved. If Scott Foster doesn't like the Rockets, if guys have said something to him in the past, or he thinks they whine all the time, or they're constantly in his ear, or Mike D'Antoni might have dated his wife in high school, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is, there are personal biases.
But you have a job.
They're human.
But you have a job.
Granted, but sometimes yeah, sure, you're right.
If you can't do your job, then don't do. Then you're not allowed.
That if you don't like somebody, that you're not going to make calls against them, I think is silly. If you think that, you're naive. If you think that personal biases don't play into these things, man, this Tim Donaghy story. If you haven't read it, it's something you really do need to read. And the thing about – and Tim Donaghy is the referee that went to prison for fixing games. But Tim Donaghy, if it wasn't, the FBI made a huge mistake. They went to David Stern and they alerted him on it. David Stern turned around and somehow found a way to expose this because they were going to mic up Tim Donaghy because he said that there were other refs involved, that the other refs were doing it as well. And it could have come down, a bleep storm could have come down on the NBA referees. And instead, Donaghy was the only one that got caught, and Donaghy was the only one that did time. And the FBI said, we made a huge mistake by going to David Stern and alerting him. Huge mistake.
Because David Stern was going to cover
Tim David Stern said, no. We're bringing this out in the open. And so now there's no way that you're going to be able to run an investigation with Donaghy mic'd up. No way.
Right.
So
David Stern knew what he was doing.
David Stern's a godfather. David Stern. And David,
the frozen envelope thing, I'm not with the Knicks and Patrick Ewing. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to, and I am not a conspiracy theorist. I think conspiracy theorists are just terrible to even have to deal with because they can be fooled into so much stuff. They're easily baited. They're easily manipulated, conspiracy theorists, because they want to believe that nothing. The fact is, when I hear about, well, the Knicks had a frozen envelope with the Knicks had been put in a freezer so David Stern can feel which one. Because it wasn't a ping pong ball. It was just the tumbler with envelopes. And the more you know about David Stern, the more I feel like, oh, there's 100% chance
that's possible. Absolutely.
I think there's definitely a possibility that
absolutely that's possible. All right, Nick, what do we got here? We got anything? Robbins Brothers.
I'm glad.
You know who I saw yesterday?
Your boy from Robbins Brothers.
Yeah, right, I did. It was Thursday. Of course I did.
Yeah, you saw him there. Hey, here's the thing.
He's still there.
He probably is. But you know where he's going later today? He's going over to the store. And Robbins Brothers, if you type in R-O-B-B-I-N-S brothers.com, you're going to get a chance to see the website for the engagement ring store in Houston. And you can go shop engagement rings with the very best names. Viraggio, Candlelight, Palm, A. Jaffe, Blossom, Cherish. Like, I know this doesn't mean anything to you, and it doesn't mean a whole lot. Karl Lagerfeld, pour some out. But these are all the designers. These are some of the designers they have. They have 30 cases of engagement rings. So they have every type of band you can imagine, every type of hand-selected high-quality diamond that comes with a lifetime warranty. They have every type of rose gold, platinum, silver, whatever your band you want for precious metal, they will find it for you, no matter your budget or the design or what she is looking for or what you want to surprise her with. They'll find that perfect ring, and they don't stop there. They will also help you plan the perfect proposal if you want them to. They have a concierge who can step in and say, look, we will help you, whether it's romantic, whether it's very splashy and high-end, or whether it's low-key, we'll make sure that that goes perfectly for you, for your big day. The ring wants to, they want the ring to be perfect, and they want the experience to be perfect, and that's what you get with Robbins Brothers. Two locations in Houston, West Bay Area Boulevard, and Webster, and also at 610 of San Felipe, right here in the right inside the loop. You are talking about getting the best engagement rings from one location. 30 cases, nobody touches that quality. Robbins Brothers.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 750 ESPN 97.5. 703-780-3776. Play that. Chris Paul's going to catch him about... what's her name? Rachel Nichols just tweeted out both of the comments from James Harden and from Chris Paul. And if Rachel Nichols is tweeting it out, they're in some trouble, okay? Because now the league's going to hear about it. I'm pretty sure the league would hear about it anyway. But here's Chris Paul on this whole Scott Foster situation.
I don't know what else to do. You know what I mean? Been met with the league with him before and all this stuff. I don't know what else to do. I just don't know what else to do. You know what I mean? Just keep playing. I don't know what else to do.
I mean, he's at a loss, dude. He doesn't know what else
to
do.
His brother got kicked out of the game by Scott Foster.
That was Scott Foster kicked his brother out?
Yep.
I mean, this is, it really is personal. And if the dude can't work the games, just like you said, Jake O'Donnell. Well, Jake O'Donnell was done. Didn't referee another game.
No, he never.
But remember the Tim Duncan thing, too?
Yeah, remember? That was Joey Crawford. But that was an example of an official who just hated a player.
Yeah.
He thought he was a smarmy smart aleck, Tim Duncan. And Joey Crawford was the most irascible official maybe of all time in any league.
He's the Joe West.
Yeah, I think he's worse.
Really, Joey Crawford was worse?
I think Joey Crawford was even worse.
Remember Joe West making the call against the Astros last year?
Which one?
Oh, you fan interference on Altuve's homer?
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, you remember that?
What did he do to...
Well, I was giving him the finger the whole...
But did he kick all the Astros out? Because that's what Joey Crawford would do. Joey Crawford would get in your face and say, I dare you to say something. Please try it. Remember when he got in trouble for upgrading, for taking first-class seats, downgrading, taking the cash, and saving it because IRS? He didn't count that as profit.
Yeah.
That seems like just a hustle. To me, you shouldn't. Should you have to pay taxes on hustles like that? I mean, he's downgrading from first class to the back. It feels like
yeah, they were selling their seats though for.
I thought he was downgrading and profiting and taking the
And then taking the extra money.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, was that maybe you're right? Yeah.
Because it's considered okay. Well, you're doing that. That is considered extra revenue. So that extra revenue you're not taxed on. You didn't report it. I think that's how he got in trouble. Was he was downgrading from first class to the back. And if that's, maybe it was selling it, but I thought he was downgrading. And if that's the case, it feels like, well, I'm less comfortable.
I'm not I should getting get that
free
cash.
Alcohol. I mean,
I should get that cash.
Isn't this just a hustle? This is just me making a personal self-sacrifice for cash.
Yeah. Joey kicked Duncan out. He ejected him for laughing on the bench. Remember?
Yeah. No, it was bad. It was a bad laugh.
713-780-3776. Mito wants to get in here and talk about his Rockets. What say Mito?
What up, Johnny G, Lance?
Hey, what's up, man?
Two things. Can the Rockets really try to blame the refs? Because, I mean, they were up 19 and Harden clanked like six of them in a row. He missed six in a row.
Oh, so it's on really them, too. It's on them, too. Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
The refs are part of it. For maybe the bigger picture, the Rockets lost because of the Rockets.
Yeah.
The people who say they lost because of the refs are chronic ref complainers. The Rockets lost because they did what they have been doing way too much this entire season, not playing consistent basketball in the second half. That's why they lost.
Does D'Antoni, do y'all think D'Antoni have command of that locker room, or are they just walking all over him?
They're not walking all over
him. It's the NBA. By the way, it's a players' league.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't know that they're walking all over him, but I think that
you have to straddle
a fine line as a coach. I think he's a coach, but there's lines you don't cross because it is a players' league. So, but I'm with Nick. I wouldn't characterize that as walking all over him.
I thought Johnny G got away with saying anything he wanted. Man, that boy Charles Barkley. Did y'all catch his joke on the Jesse whatever his name is?
Jussie? About Jussie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. but you know what? I saw where people like, I can't believe TNT let them do what?
They always
Charles and Kenny and Shaq comment on everything all the time. This was the norm, frankly.
What are you talking about? I can't believe they have zero control over what Charles says ever.
They really don't. They have no control.
None. I mean, and it's funny.
And he was cracking
he's cracking on a guy that tried to get over on everybody, that tried to set up, that claimed racism. He's making jokes about that. Oh, how hurtful. Shut up, everybody.
No, they said they can't believe it. Like, I think a lot of people said they can't believe it, like, not in a angry way, like in a, wow. I can't believe TNT let that go for as long. It was the whole halftime show.
That's Charles, though.
And they had graphics. Everyone was in on it. They would show his face.
Jussie's.
And they would say, see, what had happened was, you know, that whole thing. Like, that was on the, that was a, That was a.
They don't care.
No.
I love that.
The graphics department, they do stuff on the fly,
the
too.
That's why it's the best halftime show
it
in the world.
Be, it should be uncensored and unadulterated.
Yeah,
we
that
got too
chance
much,
to be.
We got too much self-censoring and censoring.
Oh.
You know what? If you got to get cracked on, everybody across the board, black, white, young, old, straight, gay, if there's somebody who's done something really terrible and stupid, you get cracked on.
That's all.
That's how it works.
That's how it should be. That's how it should be. We haven't touched on it. Now it's going to be none and done. You're going to be able to come. Well, at least there's a proposal by the NBA that and one, I don't know, one website said, oh, now the NFL is the only one where you have to wait. No, baseball, you still have to wait. If you go to college, you got to wait 3 years before you're drafted.
NFL has to stay the same. Physical.
Yeah.
You can't physically. These kids who come out would not go early at all.
Who was it that challenged it? Fournette?
No, it was Claret.
Oh, yeah, Claret. Maurice Claret challenged it. No. If the NFL wants you to wait 3 years before they're going to draft you, that's what they're going to do.
It's a physical body composition thing.
Right.
It can't go away. In the NBA, it's one thing. In the NFL, it can't go away. And you can't help it go away. I've heard this argument. Well, yeah, but this guy is different. You're not changing rules for one guy. You're not changing rules because Jadeveon Clowney's or Rashawn Gary's bigger than everyone else physically. You have to have a set of standards. And the fact is, the standards say physically you're not able to compete. I see it all the time. I mean, body composition. You see guys who end up gaining 15 pounds at guard or at center because your body, you got to get bigger and stronger. High school kids would also find out, here's another thing. You know what NFL doesn't like doing? Paying for you not to play.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't do that. The best player, one of the top three players in the draft this year is a guy named Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State. Now, he had an issue with punching a woman who was fighting with his sister or mom in high school.
We remember that video.
Which is going to potentially dog him, but maybe not. We'll see how. I don't know how that's going to play out.
There was a big backstory on the whole thing, but he did.
Yeah,
He was hitting a woman on the ground in the street. That was it. I remember that video.
And then you have, but he tore his ACL. And so I reached out to three different GMs. All of them said the same thing. He's going to fall out of the first round. We're not paying for a guy not to play for a year.
He could sneak into the back.
Well, I think he's a top three pick.
Yeah,
he's really.
Oh well,
I talked to one team that has him number one on the draft board, but they said we couldn't take him in the top. He said he might go in the back end of the
Cowboys
first.
Waited for Smith. I mean, it depends on what you think of a guy, right?
Yeah, they drafted him in the second, Jalen Smith.
Yeah,
he was a sure first rounder, but his was even more. It was beyond an ACL team.
Yeah, right.
His was really scary. But then again, Jeffrey Simmons has a domestic violence concern in his or abuse against women or whatever, violence against women. But they're not. They don't like if you have a Achilles injury. If you have something that won't let you play for a year, the NFL gets you for four. They get you for 5 years if you're drafted early in the first, or if you're in the second, they get you for 4 years. They're not burning off. They don't like burning off years.
Mm-hmm.
You think they like that for 2 years? Well, when he gains 25 pounds, he's going to be really good. When will that happen? It'll just take a couple years.
Yeah.
Oh, his contract's almost up.
Well, and we've got a lot to talk about on this subject. We'll do it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. This is just a one-minute break, so don't you go anywhere. All right? Stay right here. Do not change that channel. Just a one-minute break. GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's what I'm talking about. GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clint Wolf. You'll hear him tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5, about 3 hours of nonstop hijinks and hilarity. And, oh, by the way, he's going to give you a quote on your vehicle. He says Houston is awesome. We are actually realistic about what our car is worth as opposed to other markets where it's just stupid. Like I said, Oklahoma, like they think that their 1968 VW Bug is going to be worth millions of dollars. No, it's really not. And here in Houston, we know what the value is, and he says it's so easy to get a deal done with the people of Houston. And you know what? If you go to CarMax and you get a quote, and then you go to GiveMeTheVin.com and get a quote, if John Clay Wolf can't beat what CarMax offers or what Texas Direct Auto offers, then he's going to send you $100. So it just makes sense. It doesn't cost you a dime to find out what is your vehicle worth at GiveMeTheVin.com. Do it. GiveMeTheVin.com.
Well, hello!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.